This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Here in Sydney, we're really only just beginning to hear about the impact of the drought in country New South Wales. So I thought it would be good to go straight to the horse's mouth. Sydney Siders, here's what Aussie farmers want you to know about the drought. I've got Ruth Klinger on the line. She's a farmer based in Forbes in country New South Wales. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Katrina.
Can you tell us generally just a bit about the impact of the drought in your area in the Central West?
Yeah, so the thing is this time it's impacted nearly all of the Central West, obviously to varying degrees. Some areas are a little bit better than others, but everyone is being impacted by it, and it's just so dry, and it's been a combination of a series of seasonal events, not only this year, but last year and the year before as well. Yeah, it's really hard at the moment.
How does the drought impact on your business personally, Ruth?
So on us personally, we have a mixed farm. So we have both livestock and cropping. So from a livestock perspective, we've got no feed for the animals. Everything is having to be hand-fed, which means every day we are feeding out grain and hay to our sheep. From a cropping point of view, we sowed crops early in the year dry, hoping that we'd get rain for them to come up. We got enough rain to get them out of the ground, but that's about all. So they're sitting there, and about half of them are right on the borderline at the moment of if we don't get rain really, really soon, they're going to be dead. And the others, well, we don't know where they're going to end up yet. So
okay. Now, yeah. There's a lot of concern, particularly, I guess, suppose, in the city, Ruth, for, you know, animal welfare, the suffering of livestock and even of, like, native animals like kangaroos. As dams dry out, animals get stuck in bogs, that kind of thing. Are you seeing these kind of issues in your area?
So our area is slightly better than further north where we actually are. It still is a concern. At this stage, animals like kangaroos and that are getting enough. They're helping themselves to what the sheep are eating sometimes, are being fed. But still, there is that concern. Even, you know, you feed your sheep every single day. You give them their full rations they can have. But there's nothing like green grass for them to do well. So it's a continual concern from any farmer's perspective of trying to keep their animals as healthy as possible and just feeding them. We feed them not only grain and hay, but we give them supplements as well. So you might take your multivitamin tablets. We actually give them a lick that has all of the different vitamins and minerals in it as well to try and keep the sheep as healthy as possible.
Oh, yeah, wow. So there's sort of a perception, Ruth, you know, when you hear people talking about praying for rain, and I know that you do need rain, but there's sort of this perception that as soon as rain comes, everything is fixed. But I would imagine there would be, particularly in the areas that have suffered worse, some ongoing kind of impacts. You know, does it take time for not just farmers but like the whole community to recover from drought?
Yeah, it certainly does, Katrina. So from a on-farm point of view, you've got the fact that a lot of people have sold a lot of animals off so that they don't have to feed them or have starving animals. So to start with, that's next year's, the year after, even the year after, that's income that is not there because they've sold those animals. In our case, you know, we've spent, well, I won't say how much, but lots and lots of money on buying feed for our animals, and that's money we've borrowed. So we have to pay that back. And for many farmers in the area, they've just about maxed out their loan. So it's a bit like if, you know, you've got your home loan and over the last 20 years you've paid a good amount off your home loan and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and you have to max your home loan out. Well, it takes some years to pay that back. So for many farmers, there's an ongoing financial cost. There's also the environmental cost of it. You know, we pride ourselves on trying to keep good ground cover on our farm and running a farm that's good both for making money for us, but also for the environment. And a drought like this is really hard on that because you lose a lot of your ground cover and that has long-term consequences.
So do you mean like erosion and losing topsoil and things like that?
More,
or what do you mean?
More than topsoil. And also losing perennial species. So on your farm paddock, you've got annual species, which people from their garden would know. You have annuals that come each year and you've got perennial plants. And perennial plants are so important in a farming system, both for the environmental health, but also for the animals to eat. And in a year like this, sometimes you lose those perennial pastures. So that has all, then you've got to try and establish them again. So it's an, it is a long-term impact. It's not, yes, rain is what we need now, but even if we get rain now, we won't have any feed from that rain, at least for 6 to 8 weeks of any, you know, it'll look green, but it's what you often call a green drought because that green feed has no goodness in it for at least 6 to 8 weeks. So,
And then I suppose there might be crops that it could be too late for as well, you know, if rain comes too late.
Yeah, so a lot of the crops around here, even if we do get rain, there might be a bit of grazing off them, but I'd be highly surprised if much or any crop gets harvested. So, yeah, there's long-term. And then in the community, there's a long-term cost in that, you know, if farmers aren't making money, they're having to spend it on feeding their animals, then they're not shopping as much. And even if they are making a bit of money, we don't know when this drought's going to end. So everyone's gone, well, do I need to spend it? You know, and so if they're not spending money in the shops, and then especially in small communities, the shop then closes down, that shop will probably never, ever open up again. People are trying to do more themselves instead of employing people as much to save some money. And then, so workers don't get as much work, so potentially they might move out of the area. I don't know of any schools that have actually, you know, lost numbers to drop down, but, you know, some small schools can be borderline on whether they have enough students or not. If they lose one or two people from the area, that can result in schools closing. So
exactly,
it has a long-term flow-on effect.
Yes, exactly. And so is there anything else, Ruth, that you want city people to understand about what's going on?
So I suppose the main things are to understand that most farmers are doing a really, really good job of looking after their animals. We see on the media a lot of pictures of the worst case situations, and it's tragic when things get to that stage. Most farmers are doing a really good job, and it's only when they get absolutely desperate and just can't, you know, the money does completely run out that things really go bad. And just know that just people in the city showing a bit of support, whether that is just verbally or by donating a bit of money for some hay or something, it doesn't have to be a lot, but it actually really lifts the spirits of people. You know, the day in and day out trudge of getting up, feeding animals, going to bed, getting up, feeding animals, going to bed. You know, it's nice to see that other people are caring. The other thing is, which isn't at the is instant, but when things do get better, the fact that farmers actually need to get a decent price for their animals so that when the next drought comes, and there will be another one, it will happen, we live in Australia, when the next drought comes, that they've got the money to be able to feed their animals and do what they need to do. So,
are you saying don't whinge over lamb prices?
Well, no, what I'm saying, so the lamb prices, the record prices we're hearing, is only the very top few. It's not the majority of lambs. That's the very top, some really heavy lambs are making those prices, and that's fantastic. But, you know, buying Australian produce makes a big impact on helping farmers long term.
Yes, yep. So. Yeah, thank you. Do you know, I'm one of those parents, Ruth. I'm in the supermarket with my kids going, no, you can't buy those grapes. They're from the USA. We need to buy Australian. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as a Christian, Ruth, how does your faith affect your attitude to what's going on?
So I suppose the fact that, you know, as a purely human person, I can take it all on board, having to deal with it myself, trying to fix the problem myself, which ultimately I can't fix a drought. I can make choices. But as a Christian, you know, I pray to God that he makes it rain, but I actually pray that until it's the right timing, because God does things in his right timing for anything in our lives, pray that he gives us the strength to be able to cope and make the right choices in the time until he does make it rain. We're not in control of that. We're not in control of lots of things in our lives. And learning to hand it over to God and actually letting go, and that's always the hard bit in anything in life. I'm very guilty at times of handing it over to God and then taking it back and having to hand it over again. So just being able to hand the situation over to God and saying, look, I can't fix this. I need you to help me and give me the strength and the wisdom to know what to do. It actually really does. You know, it's in hard times we grow in our faith and in our trust and reliance on God. And also the other thing is the importance of not being looking inwardly too much. Yes, we need to sort our own issues, but there's so many other people out there hurting even more than we are. And so from a Christian perspective, as well as just being a good, you know, person, of actually reaching out and helping and supporting other people who are really struggling. So I suppose one practical example, our church is at the moment is working on putting together a dinner for farmers. It's only something small, but it's a free dinner. They can come along, have dinner, escape from the farm for one evening, have a bit of entertainment, and we're just going to give them a gift box each at the end of an evening. So, you know, thinking about little practical ways we can help as well as praying, I suppose.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Ruth. It's been so good to talk to you. Thanks
that's
for explaining
okay.
it all to us.
Thank you for letting me share with you.
That is Ruth Klinger. She is a mixed farmer based in Forbes in New South Wales, and she's been sharing her experience of the current drought.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.